Well, I hate to break up the Play-Doh fun and everything over there, but we should get started. Huh? Yeah. How's that going? So while you're finding your seats, I'm going to tell you just a little bit of a story that kind of goes along with what we're talking about. And Pam will kick me if she gets close enough, probably, because I'm going to talk about yesterday. We went to a state choir concert last night in Denver. Our granddaughter was in the all-girls choir. And, it's hard to even say what I want to say. It was, you'd think that this would be a really fun, great concert, right? And some of it was really good. The guys' piece of it was well done, the all-male choir. The mixed choir was well done. And both of them made comments about politics and politicians, which were actually well done. You know, the guy who did the all-male choir, he said, you know, when I work with kids like this, my hope for the future is restored because these are good kids. And if this is what's coming up, we have hope. And then the guy that worked with the mixed choir, his one comment, and he was a young guy, he's probably 40-ish or something like that. Really good director, chose good music. His comment was that all politicians should be in a choir. I would say, well, maybe not a choir, a band or a choir, give them a choice, but because if you told me to be in a choir, I'd revolt. But, you know, those were good comments. And frankly, if you have to work together with people in a choir and learn how to do that, you're going to learn how to work together with people elsewhere too, probably. But the girls' choir was just really dismal and disappointing. There's so much talent on the stage, and the music that the lady chose was staccato, single note, protest kind of music that really didn't give the girls a chance to showcase their talents, didn't give us a chance to hear their talents. That part was really disappointing, and that's the choir our granddaughter was in. So, anyway, I guess I say that to get us started in the fact that we are in a civilizational moment where things are changing, and it pops up in the weirdest places. You know, you go to a concert, you think you're going to listen to music. No, you're listening to protests, and we haven't had a chance to talk to her because after each group played, they let them go back to the hotel, which is across the street, so we didn't get to see her afterwards. But, you know, we're looking forward to asking her what you think of that music selection and your participation and the lady. It was just interesting, you know. So I say that to say it's all around us. And the, you know, Star Wars bar scene in front of the Capitol as we took my mom home last night of all the protesters was the same deal. You know, just, really? You guys are for real? Huh? No, there was not maybe as many as are in here. But, I mean, Darth Vader costumes, angel costumes with lights on them, and Teletubbies, and these are grown people that don't have anything important to do in life. I mean, I told Pam, I said, they're, you know, cumulative IQ probably adds up to the value of a quarter. it's horrendous. Sorry? Yeah. And I noticed while we were playing music that I don't have my hearing aids in, so you'll have to pardon me if I say what all day or smile at you. That's what yeah. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll get. Lord, we thank you for a beautiful morning, for the warm weather, for the series that we're doing. We thank you for the thought that was put into it, and we thank you that you give us a hope and truth. And as we talk about identity today, we just ask that you would solidify our identity in you and how we fit into the world and people around us and with ourselves as we look at this. Father, we just pray for the world around us and the people that we deal with every day. Pray that you'd help us to be a light to them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I say to ask this question: what does it mean to be human? What do you think it means to be human?
Tolerant.
Tolerant, okay.
Loving.
What?
Loving.
Okay. Okay, that's an interesting thought, flawed, but how did it start? Where was the beginning? Where was the beginning of that whole thing? Garden of Eden, to be human is to be, how were we created? In the image of God, yeah. So we were created in the image of God, and then Genesis 2 happened, the fall happened, and yeah. What? Yeah, we chose sin over God, and yet God knew that, had a plan of restoration already together, waiting to be unfolded, foretold in that very same time frame. So, kind of a cool story. He's going to talk about it a lot, but what changed when that sin moment happened, and when sin entered the world, when man fell, what changed? Sorry, Sue. Okay, shame. Our relationship with ourselves. Okay, but that's our relationship with God. So our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with God. Death happened. Okay, and there's two other relationships he's going to talk about. A relationship with other people changed. Adam and Eve no longer got along, right? And our relationship with creation, work happens. So that's kind of a lead into what we're going to talk about. Hey, Mike? Yeah, we're humans, we feel things. We don't necessarily respond the way the inputs tell us to respond all the time, do we? All right, good. Let's show the video, if you're ready. Or did I surprise you? Should I tap dance a minute? Pretty hardcore, packed and full of things, wasn't it? What do you think of that story, the way he put that all together with the four relationships and then the picture of a cross over the top of it, restoring the relationships? Every time I watch it, I get more out of it. If you think back to the Truth Rising video, the guy John Anderson sitting across from Oz Guinness talked about radical individualism, the radical individualism of our age. In what ways is that perspective, the idea of radical individualism, at odds with the Christian commitment or the Christian idea? Tammy. It's all about me, instead of centering on God and looking to the other relationships. Stephanie? Say that again, the last bit. Yeah. And why are we all up here? She talked about if you're a radical individual, she don't care about living in community. And I saw that yesterday in Denver. I mean, there's tons of people in this little art district thing, and yet, other than families that were together, there's not a lot of community. You know, it's just a bunch of individuals looking for their own little things. I saw a hand over here. I thought, no, okay. Anyway, yeah, it's an interesting thought. Dieter?
There's a church in Lakeville that actually has that.
There is. Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of that church in Lake George, I think I heard something about this sort of thing when we were there. How has the fall affected how we relate to God, others, and creation, and ourselves, if you get right down to it? It made it a battle. Okay? Yeah. Okay, yeah. We're born with a sinful nature. So if you've read Paradise Lost, you know, you look at that tension was there in the beginning. You know, Eve saw the fruit, knew the fruit was there, fought against it, and eventually Satan convinced her to go ahead and take it. That idea of that tension, sin being there, that sin nature, part of us the whole time. Yeah. Yeah, Pam.
The phrase that comes to mind is he makes all things new. And I guess I've thought of that more as being out there somewhere in the future. But with what we just heard, once we accept Christ and we are redeemed and reconciled in all those words, our relationship with God is renewed, with ourselves, with others in creation. He's making it all new.
Yeah, he's making all things new. That's a neat theme, Pam. So Pam said, you know, the idea of making all things new isn't out there somewhere. It's here now. It's happening in us. Every time anybody becomes a Christian is a new creature, right? All things are new. The old's passed away. And that's a theme that's going to proceed through here. If you listen to him today, you saw him weave this stuff together. But that's going to pop out in the end over here next week when we talk about calling. So hang on to that thought. I think it's huge in terms of where we need to be looking at ourselves. Stacy. That's a tough one. Babies are, you know, we're born with a sin nature. When does that age of accountability happen or whatever, you know? That's a theological question that has been there for the ages, and I'm not going to jump into it. But I do know that when our child was 6 months old and younger, It wasn't that he needed us. It's that he wanted us, and he would scream and yell and holler to get our attention, whether it was time or not. You know, you put him to bed, an hour later, he's yelling at you because, not because he needs anything, just because he wants attention. And so it's a nature that's a part of us, that whole, you know. Yeah. And that kind of gets back to the whole Nietzsche argument. And I confess that all I remember of my sophomore philosophy class was the discussions that my instructor, who was an F-4 pilot carrying bomb loads into North Vietnam, talked about Steve Ritchie abandoning them to go find MiGs to become an ace. So that's all I remember of my philosophy class. I've heard the name Nietzsche, and I've heard some of those other philosopher names, but don't ask me about it. You know, yeah, it fits into that why are we upset when babies cry? So, I mean, that's part of the whole sin nature, right? Instead, I'm gonna skip down a little bit. Yeah, sorry. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, they learn how to employ that tactic, don't they? Yeah. So if we're image bearers and we're made in the image of God and we have this restored nature, what difference does it make to you to know that those around you are made in the image of God, and how you're going to treat them, and what are you going to do to be a restorer, reconciler, you know, when you look at that relationship thing? Stephanie? Pray for him, yeah. Not criticize. Yeah. That's a tough one, and that's kind of where we're going with this whole thing. So I'm planting that thought and that idea this week, because next week we're going to talk about calling, and what is it that God has put in front of you, knowing that you are in this restored relationship with your talents and your skills and your resources and your abilities. What is it that God is calling you to do in this world, or in this church, or in this neighborhood, or in this town? Because there are things that need to be done, right? Yeah. Good. Any other thoughts, comments that I didn't cover? Dieter, you got any last bits you want to, heresies you want to correct or anything? No, okay. Tammy?
One of the things is
yeah, that idea of our humanness. One of the things I loved the most about this whole thing was where he talks about that crucial idea and the notion that Jesus interjected himself. I mean, humans are the central character of the whole creation, right? But God interjected himself as a human to be human with us to restore and resolve that relationship. I don't know. Every time I hear that comment made when he brings that up, it just blows my mind. It's huge. So, yeah. Well, thanks. Sue. All the rewords? You didn't say repent. But yeah, exactly. I mean, they're all there, and they're huge. Pam kind of got on my case this morning for putting reconciled here instead of restored, because, and I said, well, you know what? I know that's the word, but he was talking about reconciled at the end of the video, so that's what I put on it. Anyway, all right, let's pray, and we'll wrap up here. Lord, we thank you for these truths, and we thank you for the clear presentation and who we are in you and what you've created Jesus to do for us and reconciling us and restoring our relationships. And we just ask you to just help us to see where you'd have us to work and what else you'd have us to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.